destroying the media lies and dismantling the narratives, one story at a time. It's the Adrian Slade Show Quick Rant. Follow on Twitter, twitter.com/rantsoutloud. Read the blog at adriansladeshow.com and get the free Adrian Slade Show Roku channel in the streaming store.
We'll be fighting in the streets with our children at our feet, and the morals that they worship will be gone. And the men who spurred us on sit in judgment of all wrong. They decide, and the shotgun sings the song. The change, it had to come, we knew it all along. We were liberated from the fold, that's all. The world looks just the same, and history ain't changed, because the banners, they're flown in the next war. I'll move myself and my family aside, if we happen to be left alive. I'll get all my papers and smile at the sky, though I know that the hypnotized never lie, do ya? There's nothing in the streets that looks any different to me, and the slogans are replaced by the by, and the partying on the left are now partying on the right, and the beards have all grown longer overnight. I'll tip my hat to the new Constitution and take a bow for the new revolution, smile and grin at the change all around, pick up my guitar and play just like yesterday, then I'll get down on my knees and pray we won't get fooled again. Those are the lyrics from The Who. And Peter Townsend said the song was originally intended for a rock opera that he had been working on entitled Lifehouse, which was a multimedia exercise based on the followings of the Indian religious avatar Meher Bahaba or something like that. But anyways, showing how spiritual enlightenment could be obtained via a combination of music and audience, band and audience. The song was written for the end of the opera after the main character, Bobby, is killed. And the universal chord that is sounded, that's when that happens. The main characters disappear, leaving behind the government and army, who are left to bully each other. Townsend described the song as one that screams defiance at those who feel any cause is better than no cause. He later said that the song was not strictly anti-revolution, despite the lyrics we'll be fighting in the streets, but stressed that revolution could be an unpredictable thing, adding, "Don't expect to see what you expect to see. Expect nothing and you will gain everything." He also said the song has no party-allied message at all. It is not precisely a song that decries revolution. It suggests that we will indeed fight in the streets, but that revolution, like all action, can have results we cannot predict. Don't expect to see what you expect to see. Expect nothing and you might gain everything. He goes on to say, the song was meant to let politicians and revolutionaries alike know that what lay at the center of Peter Townsend's life was not for sale and could not be co-opted into any obvious cause. What he wrote, or what he interpreted through Roger Daltrey, was a song that pleaded, "Leave me alone with my family to live my life so I can work for change in my own way." Kind of sounds conservative, doesn't it? Here's some of the things that an interesting article kind of nodded to as far as how that falls into conservatism. As for the political implications, the emphasis on there being an aspect of life which is not for sale echoes Edmund Burke's references to the unbought grace of life and the desire to be left alone by both politicians and revolutionaries so as to work for the change individually, which echoes Edmund Burke's references to the little platoons of society, of which the family is first and foremost. And as Anne Althaus thusly correctly observes, a lot of conservatives will say that's precisely what is conservative. You know, it's funny when you talk about conservatism versus socialism, and that's kind of what I want to touch on this quick rant. I kind of want to go over the fact that there is a movement right now that thinks that socialism is the bee's knees, as the old people say. They think the socialism is being woke. You know, it's this cool thing to, you know, look towards the government because, you know, we're enlightened. You know, we're these thoughtful individuals that are coming up through the youth, and we know better than everybody else because, you know, it should be about taking care of each other, and that's the right thing to do because that's nice and all that garbage. But as we get ready to celebrate the evil holiday Thanksgiving, which is where we celebrate the bounty that we have received that was an abundance of God's blessings on the pilgrims, on the Indians that helped them together. They worked in harmony to create an abundance of food after they dropped the socialist system. You know, the same Europeans that oppressed all of the New World, with the exception of Mexico and Canada. Those founders and those explorers, they were never vilified, but it's only the ones that are in the United States region of the New World. Those are the evil colonists. Even though the Indians sold their land to them and laughed about it and thought it was funny, you know, those purchases, you remember those things in history class? Remember that? Yeah. So when we go over that, we have to look at the fact that we are coming up on Thanksgiving holiday, and William Bradford actually wrote about how the pilgrims, you know, basically went through socialism. They had socialism. They actually put together all of their resources, and they said, look, we're going to all put everything together in this new colony, and everybody's going to get a piece of it, and we're all going to take care of each other. And then that didn't work out so well. In fact, he actually there's journals written about it. He said, the experience that was had in this common course and condition, tried sundry years, and that amongst godly and sober men, may well evidence the vanity of that conceit of Plato's and other ancients applauded by some later times, that the taking away of property and bringing in community into commonwealth would make them happy and flourishing as if they were wiser than God. For this community, so as far as it was found to breed much confusion and discontent and retard much employment that would have been to their benefit and comfort. For the young men that were most able and fit for labor and service did not repine that they should spend their time and strength to work for the other men's wives and children without any recompense. The strong, or man of parts, had no more in division with victuals and clothes than he had that was weak and was not able to do, or was not able to do a quarter the other could. This was the thought injustice. The aged and graver men to be ranked and equalized in labors and victuals, clothes, etc., with the meaner and younger sort thought it some indignity and disrespect unto them, and for men's wives to be commanded to do service for other men, as dressing their meat, washing their clothes, etc., they deemed it as kind of slavery. Neither could many husbands well brook it. Upon that point, all being to have alike, and all to do alike, they thought themselves in the like condition, and one as good as another. And so, if it did not cut off those relations that God hath sent amongst men, yet it did at least much diminish and take off the mutual respects that should be preserved amongst them, and would have been worse if they had been men of another condition, let alone object this men's corruption and nothing to its course itself. I answer, seeing all that men have this corruption in them, God in his wisdom saw another course fitter for them. He's basically talking about the evil of men. We are sinful beings. We were born into sin, so we have evil within us. Unfortunately, I know that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's an interesting thing if you think about it, that we have to restrain ourselves, just as we have to have a collection of people that are bestowed power by ourselves to be restrained. And the restraint comes first from our declaration of independence that we put out there and said, hey, this is why we are a freed people. And then we lay out the blueprint in the Constitution of what the government cannot take from our natural rights, what the government must be restrained from doing. That's why there isn't, well, the government gets to do this. It's the government can't. The government shall not. So we have to look at the fact that the things that you want in liberalism, in socialism, are not going to be the things that you're going to expect to gain. Right, Peter Townsend? I mean, think about the tax-exempt status issue. Think about the fact that you're sitting there, you're going, should I make that food truck or should I do that nonprofit that I've always wanted to do and help humanity because I want to be a better person on the newspapers and, you know, to my family and go, hey, look at me, I'm helping the needy. Well, you can't make that nonprofit unless the government approves your nonprofit organization status for tax exemption. Now, you can make a nonprofit and not have a tax exemption deemed by the IRS, but that takes away some financial incentives for you to raise money. That takes away your ability to obtain grant money. That takes the incentive for somebody else to go, hey, I want to give to that charity because, well, you know, I really believe what they believe in, but at the same time, I can get a little something back on the tax returns. So what happens when your other side, what happens when the side you don't agree with is in power and you decide, hey, I want to make a nonprofit? And you go up to the IRS and go, here's my status form. I'd like to have this go through. And once approved, I can go ahead and hit the ground running. And you sit there and you wait and you wait and you wait and you get nothing because it's been shelved because your political interest it was frowned upon by the other people in power. They took your free speech away right there. They took your ability to act on your interest away because they're in power. Now the government knows what to do. We sent good people like Hank Johnson and Frederica, what's her name, down there in Florida with the cowboy hats. We sent them to D.C. to work on our behalf. What could go wrong? I mean, why not give net neutrality over to them? Why not give the government the ability to control the information? I mean, I get to watch Netflix at a higher speed on an airplane at 35,000 feet, you know, on my little handheld device. I get to watch that without some buffering. But the control of the information coming in and out, Google will get to, you know, slap down my conservative websites. I mean, Louder with Crowder won't even be able to make money off of their viewpoints because YouTube's going to demonetize them. I mean, Facebook is going to litter you up with Russian ads, but at the same time, don't have, you know, an ad about, you know, small government like Prager University. They're going to get beaten down. But let's give the government control. Let's give those sinful collective human beings that have power now, let's give them control. I mean, what could go wrong? Bribe politicians. What could go wrong? Why is it that Uranium One zipped right on through? Why did the actual Uranium One investigation get knocked down? Why did it take seven departments? I mean, we know the Clintons benefited from that. We know that they got $500,000 in speeches. We know that they got 100 and some million in donations to their money laundering scheme. But they weren't the only ones that signed off on this thing, gang. There was other people involved, and there were some GOP people involved. If you go back and listen to the show this week that we did on the Russian collusion and the Democrats, you learn that the GOP knocked it down too. So what could go wrong with giving power to the government to oversee the people? Let them make the decisions on healthcare. Let them make the decisions on whether or not you live or die. Well, most of them are getting money from all these different organizations. The insurance company is throwing the money. You know, everybody wants to talk about big Wall Street. Wall Street, the multinational corporations, and they make all this money and they take away from the workers. What do you think the government's doing? What do you think the politicians are doing that we sent them there? You don't think they're doing the same thing? You don't think that they're profiting and laughing about the fact that they get to walk right on out the door? If you're a Democrat, you have Democrat privilege. You could sell our nuclear uranium to a Cold War adversary and walk on out the door with your pockets filled, and not a single thing will happen to you. You can sit there and, you know, get NFL tickets and write it off on your campaign, and nothing's going to happen to you. You're a Democrat. You don't get to be indicted. What in the world? So what we have to look at is we have to look at the justice and the impartiality of natural law. A God is a just God, a perfect God, an ever-enduring God. And I know you don't want me to go off on a preaching tangent, and I'll shy away from that. But what I'm trying to portray is the only perfect system is a system based on natural law. We have to restrain ourselves as people to be a moral and virtuous people. And we don't teach that anymore. It's frowned upon. It's removed from schools and replaced with ethics courses in every single class because they were like, oops, we messed up. We took all the religious stuff out. We took all the stuff that would instill virtue and instill morals. We removed that all because, you know, we got to let the atheists poo-poo on everything. They spend all waking day looking for ways to destroy Christianity. So we have to find a way to keep Enron from happening again. We got to find a way from WorldCom to stop happening again. So let's go to your business courses and put ethics in every single flipping course. You know, capitalism is a perfect system. It is us as imperfect beings that destroy it. We're the ones that get a little money hungry. We're the ones that get greedy and gluttonous. And we start destroying and, you know, basically crafting the system to enhance our self-interest. But we let our self-interest start to step on other people's self-interest. And that's because we are imperfect people. But if we are a people that look to virtue and restraint, we are going to try to slide ourselves towards being someone that's going to think of others first. We don't need a government to tell us to do that. Your family, your neighborhood, your friends, they are the people that we need to be thinking of. You know, if you were to pull Obamacare right on out, do you know the flood of industry, the flood of entrepreneurs that would rush that sector of business? It would be stunning. But we're all afraid that we're going to pull the rug out, and because the government's gone, everybody's just going to be laying by the wayside without anything, dying out in the streets. Same thing for just about anything that the government controls, because the government is a centralized power, and they have the power of force. They can force you to do anything, and they are a centralized hub. They're the only place you can go for that product. When your interest is met by the interest of somebody providing a service or product, that transaction goes and the government's nowhere near involved. Now, I'm not saying there should be no government. There's needs for certain little bits of regulation. I don't mind them coming out inspecting the airplanes. I don't mind them inspecting the meat. I don't have a problem with that. That's where the limited government comes in. That's where small government comes in, because we want a few people to do that. I don't want, you know, 1/6 of our economy controlled by the government. Because the transaction that I make, where I go, I really would like this product or service, and another person goes, I'd like to give this product and service out, those interests are met individually, person to person, and you cannot designate and distribute that from one place. And so when we look at it from that angle, we have to look at it because everybody's interest is different. Everybody's needs are different, and the government cannot provide it. Russia couldn't provide it during the Soviet Union. Their grocery store shelves were empty, and they had food that was sitting in a building while they had lines down the street, and that food was going bad because they couldn't distribute it quick enough to the people who were in line who couldn't get it quick enough because the distribution method was bunk because it was centralized. And Boris Yeltsin comes to America and sees a grocery store with cereal, and racist cereal, I guess, cereal in every type of brand, every type of flavor. And he's blown away. He's looking at the shelves, and he's like, all the stuff that we are lacking and that we really need to get to our people, they have it in droves, in different flavors, in different competitor boxes. So I just want you to think about that when we go into Thanksgiving and when we go into November 4th and the refuse fascism, that the people that are fighting for Bernie Sanders-style socialism that think that what we are witnessing is fascism, we just left fascism with the Obama administration, shutting down free speech, shutting down political opposition, and we're not in fascism currently. I mean, I'm not trying to give Trump praise, but I'm trying to say the fascism that you think you're fighting, you just exited, and you're mad because we haven't extended that side of fascism over and over until it engulfs culture completely. I'm Adrian Slade. Thanks for tuning in. You can hear me on Talk America Radio every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on the Liberty Channel. You can hear me every Saturday, 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Liberty Channel on Saturdays. You can tune in every Sunday, 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Justice Channel, and also on Saturday on the Justice Channel at 7 p.m. I've got a Patreon account, or Patreon. I always get that wrong. Patreon.com/AdrianSlade if you'd like to donate. $2 a month, that's all. And I have also got a Roku channel. You can get the free Roku channel in your streaming store. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Doesn't really say much at all. It's when you act your dream.